This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
Hey, I saw this real quick. I saw this viral video that's going on Twitter. I don't know where this guy is, right? I don't have any idea where he is, but he appears to be in a very tropical, you know, setting, and he stumbles upon a warthog. Okay, now everybody knows a warthog from The Lion King. Pumbaa is his name. And we've all seen how friendly he is. He's very friendly, Pumbaa is. And so this gentleman who's recording the video, you know, kind of just sits there and he's recording him. And the warthog begins to approach him. Mm-hmm. Okay? Looks friendly enough. But as soon as he gets within an arm's reach, he attacks. The warthog attacks. So I don't know if we have any warthogs in Memphis, walking around. There might be some in Raleigh. If you come across one,
damn fool,
do not
warthog in Raleigh.
Try to pet the warthog. That is, if you learn anything from this show today, if you come around, you know, in the mound, if you see a warthog, you know what I'm saying, South Memphis, you know, Collierville, you know, that's kind of where they frequent in this area.
Y'all got them more out there than them sticks out there.
Yeah, if you come across one, do not pet it. They are not friendly.
And they'll sandbag you, too. You walk
no
up
doubt.
To your thing. That's what that one did to him.
You know,
if it had come charging, the dude would have never been – he'd have been running.
He thought it was like a Cocker Spaniel. Mm-mm. Nah, bro. That's a wild – like, don't play with wild animals. That's the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. You know, like, people try – these snakes, you know what I mean? Like, these raccoons or – you know, I know people that have pet raccoons. I mean, you know, like, don't play with these wild animals. Like, you can't trust them.
Now, out there, that Raleigh-Millington area, you have a lot of wildlife out there, but I don't
Absolutely.
Think anything like these warthogs.
But it's like mutants, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Is this the video? Yeah, he's got the video.
I have some sound effects. I thought this
it's
was...
It's literally walking up to him.
I'm just watching the warthog repertoire on YouTube. They squeal, I guess.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's is there any good audio in this thing?
Well, yeah, we have to find. I don't know how to direct you to it. Maybe we can do it by the end of the show. But it's great because the guy's like an Australian accent. He's like, come here, little like Steve.
Oh, he
Adams,
thinks it's all
basically.
Cute, and then you know? When animals attack.
They're like, and then you can hear the woman, don't do that. And then attack! Bam! Warthog on your ass. It's like
know,
the Bills gonna be on the Titans.
I didn't know they'll sneak up on you like that.
Have you found it?
Here he comes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, and he's huge. Hello, boy. I wonder if we can pet him. Hi, boy.
I had to hit the dump button.
It looked just like it sounded, too.
He says the F word. For those of you listening on the stream, you'll get it, but
bro,
did you hear
the way that warthog attacked, though?
He got right up to the camera and then leashed out. And the warthog looks like the Arizona Razorback or the Arkansas Razorback
yes.
with the way it's kind of constructed.
Oh, no. Isn't that what a Razorback is?
I think that's what a Razorback mm-hmm. is. It looks just like a Razorback with the two little. And I can see where it's cute because it's squatty and you're like, oh, look at
right.
the little. Yeah.
It's like a little land hippo, you know, but yeah. also hippos.
I'll retweet it from the 92.9 account.
Also, so, hippos yeah. ain't to be played. Like, where is this guy where there's just a warthog walking around the campus?
It's like on the sidewalk.
Jeez, that's bizarre.
It is tropical, though. So
it's a very tropical setting. Like, yeah. I don't know where that would be. Mm. Singapore, I don't know where they are. Brad's going to retweet it. That's what you should take away from this
92.9
show.
92.9 account.
Do not try to pet warthogs because they are not your friend. Earlier today on ESPN, we had Jonathan Barney on the show last week, And he was there at Memphis's Pro Day, like everybody else in the basketball world was at Memphis's Pro Day. You were there. I was there. Everybody was there. And he has a new big board, a new top 100 big board up at ESPN.com. And in terms of the relevance for Memphis, I think Jalen Duren was number four in the previous one, and that is where he remains.
Correct.
He remains number four.
Behind Chet Holmgren,
yep.
Paolo, and yep. Jaden Hardy.
But those three are pretty locked in. So basically, when you get past the big three, Jalen Duren is the best prospect in America, according to Jonathan Gaboni. I mean, Jaden Hardy's already in the NBA practically with the G League Ignite. Mm-hmm. We know Paolo and Chet are considered one and two in the NBA draft. I mean, like, that's kind of – that feels like that's going to be the order. Now, things can change, right? I mean, you could see – Jalen Duren probably like that the problem for Jalen is that you can only see him going down.
Can he get above Jaden Hardy? I don't know.
I don't think
who's,
so.
Who's with, like you point out, is with the Ignite.
But maybe. Maybe. I think Jaden Hardy's going to have some Jalen Green effects going for him in terms of the G League Ignite guard.
Either thing. Way, best case scenario, 3-4, because you're not getting over Chet and Paolo, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, agreed. Okay. And so that was put out today. Jalen Duren. Apparently.
That's good that after the pro day, you were good enough that you're not dropping.
Exactly.
Yes, good to know.
And he's the cover, you know, when he tweeted out is Jalen Duren. You know, that's the picture that they use for this piece.
Right. And he told us in terms of what he saw, he was mostly impressed.
Yes, exactly. So you got Jalen Duren there at four. Amani Bates is not on this big board because he is not eligible for the 2022 draft, as we know. Earl Timberlake. Did drop.
He was 20-something. Where is he at now?
He's at 37 now. So that would put him in the second.
I think it's the jump shot that scared him. You could hear it in Gavoni's voice and talking to those scouts. They were surprised at how that you're basically starting over because of the shoulder issue. The neck surgery to relieve the shoulder pain, now having to, as Cody Topper told us a couple of weeks ago, reconstruct the jumper. And it scared all of them. You know, because he talked about everywhere else, Earl Timberlake, you know, just basketball player. He called him best passer on the team.
Yeah, he did.
But it's that jumper that scares the mess out of him, and that has to be what's responsible for the drop down here.
So Earl Timberlake is sitting there at 37. Now, DeAndre Williams was in.
See who was 18, by the way? Not to get it off Tigers, but locally.
Who's that?
Kennedy Chandler.
Kennedy Chandler dropped a little bit then.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
He was at one time 10, was he not? So now he would be, if you're going along these, you'd be right outside the lottery.
Is that because of size? Is he just little?
Size is always going to be an issue for him. Now, he's played through it his entire life and gone against bigger guards. Hadn't been a problem for him. We saw him tearing up Jalen Green in terms of winning that national title on the grassroots circuit. But, no, I mean, at some point, you got to ask yourself, okay, how many six-foot point guards are going in the lottery? And it's few. They're few and far between. And so, look, if he's still a first-rounder, it'll be a win for Kennedy Chandler. But, yeah, that represents a little bit of a drop from around 10-ish he was at one point to now 18, but still got him pretty solidly in the first round.
Well, this is what Jonathan wrote about Jalen Duren. Duren had an overwhelmingly positive showing at the Memphis Pro Day, measuring and testing exceptionally well, and more importantly, having some absolutely dominant moments in both drills and live actions. His measurements compared favorably to the likes of DeAndre Jordan and Nene. How about that?
Dang.
Nene.
Remember Nene.
His play drew comparisons to the likes of Bam Adebayo and a young Dwight Howard. Duren's intensity, previously a question mark, was on another level from what we had previously seen, as was his productivity. He had several eye-opening moments where he skied above the rim and nearly crushing the basket on his finishes, showing the type of power and explosiveness that you rarely see from 17-year-olds. Several NBA execs said he could easily step on the floor for them and not look out of place, especially with the versatility that he showed defensively, hedging ball screens and covering ground impressively on both ends of the floor. Now, this is interesting. Memphis appears to be in the process of installing a new offense intended to take advantage of Duren's solid passing ability, allowing him to create out-of-dribble handoffs from the perimeter and make decisions out of short rolls. The speed Duren shows getting in and out of ball screens and his ability to make himself a target for over-the-top lobs thanks to his reliable hands and ability to get off his feet quickly will be huge for Memphis. Now, I will say, at the beginning of the year last year, they kind of tried to do that with Musa. Not extensively, but they did try to do the dribble handoff thing for Musa at the top of the key. And as you might imagine, it was a disaster.
Experiment.
Yeah, because you can't ask
unfortunately, Moose had to react.
Gavone told us this. He said they were putting in the stuff Miami uses all the time on this stuff, if you're listening closely. And you know, I think that's what we're going to see a lot of, is them allowing Jalen to show in basically NBA sets, you know, what he's going to do, you know, what he's going to do in 2022 once you draft him. And so that part, you know, sounded good. It didn't sound like an overhaul of the offense completely, but yes, throwing in a ton of, and why wouldn't you? You got Larry Brown on the staff. Penny was already running, you know, NBA stuff in a lot of cases. It was getting him in trouble because he didn't have NBA level talent trying to run it in some of these instances. But no, I mean, that makes all the sense in the world that you do, you know, some of that to allow Jalen to show off the whole game. So, and again, you got another one, a playmaker in DeAndre on the other side. You know, there's a bunch of different ways you could go here. But all those guys will get their opportunity in these sort of NBA sets to show their stuff. Hopefully now you're more equipped to have it look good with some, you know, guys that can actually knock down the jumpers that come off of these, guys that can actually make these plays. Sound like Duren had a better pro day than Imani did, because there seemed to be some scouts who were, you know, thought Imani was overrated after watching him in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't it too early for that, and you're watching somebody that's 17 to sit there and say they're overrated? Yes, if you were listening to folks say he's Kevin Durant at 15 years old, mm-hmm. be easy to come in there and think that. But you got to – most of these scouts should know you go in there with your own brain, you know, even, yes, knowing what you've heard, but you – you know, I don't know, you know, the idea that he didn't make the comparisons to KD. So if any of those scouts came in there thinking that's what they were going to see, then, you know, you should blame Sports Illustrated, not Imani Bates. Don't hold it against the kid.
Well, look, I didn't come away thinking that. I did not come away thinking Imani Bates was overrated at all. I came away thinking that Imani Bates was rated properly.
No, that's all. I'm just saying, he wrote about Imani, said NBA scouts had mixed first impressions. Some called Bates overrated.
Right. No, I
off this thing, and I think that's ridiculous to go
there.
Because
you just come in with such,
yeah, right.
You
know. Blame, if you're going to blame, you know, if you're going to criticize the overrating, that's on Sports Illustrated and everybody else that's tried to call him the next Kevin Durant than it is Imani Bates at this point.
Well, I like it. That gives
He's also
us,
put on the weight.
That gives us some room to pleasantly surprise at the beginning of the season. I like the narrative shift here. The narrative shift is that maybe Imani Bates is overrated, not as good as everybody thinks.
Well, some were enthusiastic about this is Gavone. It seems like it was half and half, whereas with Duren, it was just more solid that he would fit in anywhere, at least with Imani, some in there, some of those scouts. And again, every team was represented, weren't buying it. Again, different deal for Bates, where he's got two more years of development before you're even talking about drafting him. So
I think Imani comes out this season and really impresses.
I noticed Minot is not on this list,
right?
Which is weird, because it was going around the other day and it's still there. That over at NBADraft.net, which we don't use anymore, not credibly, no one does. They do have Chet Holmgren going number one. At number 10, they had Josh Minot. And it sent, you know, a few people around here into a little bit of an uproar. Okay, Josh Minot's going, you know, now a first-round pick, not based on anything Gavone clearly saw from the pro day. We've all been operating under Josh Minot, you want to keep involved and engaged, because that looks like a guy who, you know, 2 years.
Yep.
Maybe by your second year, he's really contributing big.
Totally.
Not going as NBA Draft.net still got up. I'm looking at it right now. They got him number 10 to New Orleans in this year's draft. That's not happening. And certainly would be backed up by Gavone not having him in his top 100.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Josh Minot showed that he belonged.
Josh Minot got size and skill, but we're not talking about a one and done.
I did not see that.
Some folks got tweeted out.
My goodness.
I don't know if this is an error. I don't know if this is trolling. You know, NBA draft. I've stopped going to this point. We haven't used that. Haven't used it in years.
Yeah,
you
really.
Just pretty much use ESPNs or a few others. But yeah, this one still got Josh Minot up in 10. Don't overreact to that. I don't think that's necessarily where he is. Josh Minot looking like at least a 2 year player, I would think.
Yeah, I mean,
pro potential.
You got to have those in your program, right? That's why we're talking about this season being potentially as special as it is, because Lester's a third year player. DeAndre is a 12th-year player. Alex Lomax is a 4th-year player. You know, you have real experience on this team. And there are some other guys, right? Malcolm, who's going to contribute. Chandler.
How many more years does Malcolm have left?
I think he's got the full, right? He's got 2 years after this one, doesn't he? Is he a junior or senior?
That man got 3 years.
Yeah, he's got 3 years because of COVID year. You get an extra year
if you sign. I feel like Malcolm's been here 4 years.
Well, yeah. And I suspect he will.
But he came in at, he came in with Wiseman. He's 2019. He's not there with Lomax. So
yep.
Yes, he would have three more. Last year gets is everybody gets that back.
Yep.
So he's got three more.
So and I think wow. I think DeAndre has two, right?
DeAndre got two more seasons.
Yeah, because the COVID year, everybody like last year did not count against your eligibility.
Don't you get to be a certain age and you can't be out there?
I don't, because what about all the Mormon guys?
I'm messing around. Now they go do their two-year mission and they come back.
Yeah.
No, I mean, DeAndre could technically be out there, what, at 27, we're saying?
Yeah.
Is he going to be 25? Or
He'll be 20. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know how old he's going to be. I don't know if he'll be 25.
It's 24 or 25.
I know he's 24 right now.
We saw his age. Gavone had his age in
there. I don't know when he turns 25, right? I don't know when that would be. Is that going to be,
man,
in the summer or what?
Has there been a Tiger player had gray hair on senior night? Had a little bit of gray in the beard?
Yeah.
I mean, that could
get
be
an
DeAndre.
NIL deal with Just for Men?
That could be DeAndre if he sticks around a little longer.
Yeah. We were talking about the IARP. DeAndre got the NIL deal with the AARP.
Mm-hmm.
He's a representative.
Well done.
But look, that's you need that experience, you know? You need the experience. And so Josh Minot being a second-year player would be fantastic. And he's going to – I mean, I fully expect him to be that. I fully expect him to be – because, you know, look, everybody's going to have to adjust. Their usage rates are just not going to be what they thought. Like, Landers Nolly's usage rate last year took a dip from Virginia Tech where he was 33.9, went from 33.9 to 24.9. It's going to go down again, you know? How are you going to handle that? How are you going to adjust to that, big fella? You know, that's the question.
Well, they're certainly not operating over there like there's going to be any – news here soon that they'll be facing a postseason ban, John. It certainly feels like the this IARP news hasn't, or I guess the impending, you know, decision coming from them hasn't done anything to dampen the feeling of the buzz around there. They're operating like this thing's going to get pushed back.
Right.
You know.
They've recruited like it, let's be honest,
they've
too.
Recruited like this thing's going to get pushed back. It is a little bit odd that you saw right around the time they got Imani, as you pointed out yesterday, that's when Penny asked for one of those extensions. But again, if it goes along, and I think it's worth bringing back up, that timeline that Jason Munns points out that NC State's got with the IARP, all right, everybody's got to have a formal hearing on these for the six cases that are in.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis has not had its, right? NC State's already had its formal hearing, what, in August? That came 6 months after the notice of allegations. If you did the same timeline, that would put Memphis's formal hearing, because he got its notice of allegations amended, what, in July?
Mm-hmm.
They'll put it in mid-March. And again, you're not, there's no way you're dropping a, John, there's no way you're dropping a postseason ban on a team in March.
I would like to believe that.
I heard Gary this morning, he's backing up what we said about Georgia Tech. There have been some other ones where you've dropped it close to the start of the season, but not in March when you'd have a team, you know, at that point, trying to lock up, you would think, a top two, top three, top four type seed in the tournament. Sure, my point is surely at that point, if it comes down then, it would be applied, whatever it is, Penny, whatever it is, postseason ban mainly would be applied to next season. That surely, if that timeline goes anything similar to what NC State has done.
Yeah.
That would be good news for Memphis.
Yes, very much so.
Getting to March would be great news.
Again, I think even doing something like I am reluctant to apply, you know, via transitive property that just because it took 6 months for NC State, it's going to take 6 months for Memphis.
But you know you got to get a formal hearing, though.
Yes. But,
and
but,
you know
but
the season's
that
about
to
start.
That, in theory, could happen next week, right? In theory.
But don't you think Penny would at least
request an extension?
Well, he's already done that. But if you had an indication that it was about to come down like that, like it would be getting out now, John. That would be getting out. Whether it's through Rudd, through Penny, whatever else. Okay, well, we like what we got. But, you know, even if you're not saying it publicly, it would be getting out behind the scenes. If they thought that formal hearing, mm-hmm. which could possibly affect this season in a way where they're not on the floor for the postseason, that would be getting out right now. If they had any clue that formal hearing was close. And then not to mention, okay, well, NC State's had the formal hearing. They still don't have the decision. You know, you're still – just because you get the formal hearing, you still got to – there's time in between before the decision.
Right.
And they're still waiting on that, NC State. So
you would think,
there's not enough time. We're right up on it. Memphis Madness tomorrow. Like, so, you know, exhibition's coming up.
Yep.
Next couple of weeks, you're starting up, and there isn't just this time to be delayed. And here it is before the start of the season.
Right.
And if it pushes into March, I think that's great news for Memphis.
I am going to err on that side with you, and hope that is true. Hope that it is indeed true. We'll come back. Joe Theismann's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about NFL, get his thoughts on Lamar Jackson, John Gruden, all that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Joe Theismann is a Super Bowl champion, an NFL MVP, a Memphian. He joins us now. Joe, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time as always.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always.
You're welcome, guys. Always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, so obviously won't belabor this point because there are other things that we want to get into with you, but it is the news of the day. John Gruden resigns from his head coaching job with the Raiders in the wake of several emails that have come out and surfaced. Based on what we've seen of the situation, Joe, did the Raiders have a choice in this matter?
I don't think so. There was absolutely no question that the action that was taken is something that that they felt they had to do. And, you know, there isn't anything that I can add to the conversation. I think it's despicable. And that's really about all, you know, my observation is of this thing. It's quite unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. In terms of what the Raiders do next, you know, it is amazing. They start the season 3-0, and Derek Carr looks reinvigorated, and then, you know, like it's happened, it's, you know, the several years of Gruden's tenure, you know, that tends to kind of chip away and fall apart here. But in terms of the job, and in terms of what you have, how attractive a gig is the Raiders' job, and do you think they can attract a Kellen Moore, a Joe Brady, a type like that?
I don't think that those would be, you know, that wouldn't be something that anybody is thinking about at this point. You're still very early into the season. The football players are going to have to show up to play football.
Right.
They have their job to do. It would be, you know, it would be management's decision to move forward and search for someone. Maybe there's somebody on the staff. Maybe there's someone that they can bring in from the outside. But, you know, I still think that, you know, now the players just have to try to do the best they can to focus on playing football.
What's going on in Washington, Joe, in terms of with that defense? You know, I had high hopes, obviously, you know, for not just me, everybody did around that. And look, it's still early in the season, you point that out, and they're sitting there 2-3. You know, Dallas is not gone yet. But why hasn't that defense, at least to this point, worked, Joe?
I don't know. As an observer and going to the games and watching the games on TV, and I just think that it looks like there are communication issues on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in every game, you see somebody running wide open, and that's just simply a communication issue. It's not that you've got somebody who can outrun the secondary or just always take the top off of it, but you see guys, you know, in spaces where there really isn't anyone around them. And I think, you know, if they can iron out their communication issues, it would be better. Jamin Davis has been playing at the middle linebacker position. He's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got, you know, William Jackson is a new corner. You hate to say it, but it's a very young football team sort of trying to find its way. Taylor Heineke, really only in his fifth start, trying to figure out exactly what he has to do. The two interceptions he threw this past Sunday were, you know, there were people, you know, right in front of the receivers. And it's the same thing that you did with Teddy Bridgewater in the Denver game. I mean, in the Denver-Pittsburgh game, you look at that throw at the end of the game and you think, that guy isn't even anywhere near open. And so you start to, you know, it's the first part of the season. I think sometimes we get antsy and the expectations are so high. And now you start to, the reality of the game starts to settle in. Now we have to see who is going to be real. How are they going to play? Are they going to play, you know, this way all year? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be improvement? Those are the things you have to look at.
And that's what I'd ask you, perfect follow-up into Dallas in terms of they're sitting there at 4-1. Does that have the look of an elite NFC team to you with the improvements they've made on defense and obviously with Dak back healthy?
Yeah, I think Dan Quinn's made a difference as the coordinator. I think Dak being healthy, and I'll be honest with you, I am surprised that Dak has come back as well as he has. I'm thrilled for him. I'm absolutely thrilled for him that he's able to do the things he's able to do. He's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. Their wide receiving core, they complement one another. They've got a tight end that can get down the field. You've got Pollard and Zeke in the backfield, so you've got complementary backs. We always knew that they had a good offensive line. They were just beat up so much last year. Now it looks like they're healthier. So on the offensive side of the ball, all the pieces are fitting perfectly. And like I say, defensively, they've always had athletes. It was conceptually, it created an issue. And I think Mike's got himself a football team right now that they're excited about. You know, winning breeds winning. Losing breeds questions. And right now the Cowboys are in that, hey, we've got confidence.
Yep.
We can score points. You know, Dak can take us where we need to go. Our defense can help us out when it's necessary. And, you know, the one thing that you don't look at, and it reared its ugly head this particular week, this weekend in football, is the kicking game. Missed field goals cost Cincinnati a game, basically cost the Colts a game, almost cost Green Bay a game. I mean, 12 missed extra points in a weekend? I mean, wow. I was just, when I saw that statistic, I couldn't believe it.
You know, it
carried over into the field goal attempts as well.
Yep.
It certainly did. And you mentioned that Colts game last night. I mean, the Colts are not a good football team. We know that. But they were still leading 25-9 in the fourth quarter before Lamar Jackson threw two touchdowns in that period. But he needed some help. Because Rodrigo Blankenship missed a 47-yard field goal as time expired. Also missed a 37-yarder that was blocked with less than 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But I want to focus more on Lamar. That felt like his best performance ever. 442 wow. yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. What can you say just about his development as a passer, Joe?
I think it was evident. I mean, 85% pass completion percentage.
Yeah.
And really – to put it in perspective, guys, he did that in three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the first two possessions, it was three and out.
Yep.
You look at the first quarter of that game, there were very few yards generated by that offense. So what he did, basically, he did mostly in three quarters of football. I've always felt that Lamar continued to get better and better and better. Now, different throwing style than Josh Allen, but we've seen this type of development in Josh Allen up in Buffalo. The ability to be able to throw the ball down the field, to make plays with his legs, not to the extent that Lamar has done it. I thought he was extremely disciplined in the pocket. He looks to get rid of the football and then takes off to run. And I think that's a little bit of a departure from what he was when he first came into the league, where if it wasn't there, I know I can outrun people. Now it's I don't have to outrun people. And it also speaks to the importance of Andrews, the tight end. He didn't have him last year, very healthy, and he lost him at times. That is, you know, you have to talk about him like you do Kelsey. You have to talk to him like you talk about Ertz. You have to talk about him like you talk about Kittle. I mean, you know, Andrews deserves to be in that conversation of impact tight end in the National Football League.
We are, of course, talking to the great Joe Theismann here on the show, Memphian Super Bowl champion, MVP. You know, you mentioned the Bills. And I don't know if it's, you know, the offensive coordinator who was, you know, clearly come in and made such a night and day difference for Josh Allen, but he is clearly a different quarterback than when he entered the league. When you watch the Bills, what do you see? Do you see a potential Super Bowl champion? What about the Bills this year, Joe?
I think they are, to me, the team that you have to beat. If you're in the AFC, you're going to have to beat the Buffalo Bills. They're tough as can be at home. And remember, the weather's not going to get any nicer up in Buffalo. That's something to consider. It's not like they're playing in a dome. So if you're going to play the Bills late in the season, which now the way the schedule is set up, a lot of the division teams will go there, okay? So the Miami will go there. The Jets will go there. And New England will go there. So you look at that division and you say to yourself, last year looked like they were serving notice. Now it looks like they've come of age. And I've felt that their defense was really close to being special, and they've got great athletes and a great concept, and Sean's done a terrific job with them as a coach. And like I say, Josh Allen's maturity and his growth at the position has been impressive. And he's smart now. He's not, you know, he's not trying to run over people. He still gets a little crazy running mm-hmm. around back there, but heck, who of us hasn't, okay? That's just part of the position. But I really am impressed with Buffalo. And I think, to me, the AFC is something. And they served notice against Kansas City, which brings up another question. And I thought Patrick Mahomes did a terrific job of self-analysis after the Buffalo game. He said, I have to look at myself. I felt like he's gotten a little he just got a little loose with everything. His running around, he's lost this. He basically looked like he'd lost a sense of discipline at the position. When to throw the ball away. Don't run around as much. Get the ball out of your hands. And, of course, you know, when you hit somebody in the hands and it goes through their hands and winds up in somebody else's and it's a pick six, not much you can do about that. But I think you're going to see a different Patrick Mahomes starting this weekend, unfortunately, in Washington. I think he'll be a more disciplined quarterback. I think I'm sure we'll still see the Patrick Mahomes that we've all learned to love and appreciate, but I think you'll see more discipline out of his play going forward.
How about Justin Herbert, Joe? Why is it working so well so early for this kid? He just that special?
I think he, you know, he's smart, and so much of it is the play calling as well as the athletic ability of the individual and the ability to throw the football, the play concepts. You've got, and it's interesting, you look at Buffalo, you've got a guy that can take the top off of defense. All right, you look at San Diego, a guy that can take the top off of defense. Mike Williams is just a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. He's just a monster when it comes to, just put the ball somewhere in the general vicinity, and he's going to come down with it. And then Keenan Allen is probably the most understated best receiver in football. Nobody talks about it. You know, the Chargers are out on the West Coast, and it seems like you sort of focus in the Northeast and Southeast, and you look at teams in the Midwest, but that's sort of like they're out there somewhere. And yet he doesn't get recognized at the level that he should with so many of the great receivers in this game today. He is an absolute sensational receiver. We like to focus on the young kids, the CeeDee Lambs, and all these young guys coming in the league, which is fair. You know, Calvin Ridley. I mean, it's fair to talk about all these young ones, but I'll tell you something. Keenan Allen, to me, is something special. And you've heard me say this time and time again. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. They're staying healthy. The line's doing a good job protecting them.
Yep.
And he's able to make the throws that are necessary. And I like what they're doing with him. They move him, but they don't move him to a point where he has to run mm-hmm. and put himself in a bad place.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of, all these great young quarterbacks, new kid on the block, Tom Brady. Had 411 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, I know we do this. Like, we do this exercise every week, it feels like. But coming off that game against New England where, you know, he kind of struggled a little bit, let's be honest. He comes out and throws 5 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, the guy is just – what can you even say about Tom Brady at this point?
You know, it's funny. I was traveling through Dallas Airport yesterday, and I grabbed something to eat. And Jack, one of the guys who's there, the chef and everything, he comes up and he says, is Tom Brady an alien? And I said to him, I said, I've been thinking that for about the last 3 years, to be honest with you. He's not of this earth. But I think what we saw in the New England game were nerves. Mm-hmm. I think Tom was nervous. I think, you know, Tom wanted that game more than he would let on. The facade was it's game. But inside, he had to be churning like crazy. I mean, 20 years of your life, now you're going up there to play. The weather condition wasn't real great either when it came to having to throw the ball around. But I really felt like that's the first time you sort of sensed that Tom was emotionally invested in what was going on, more so than that stealth, that iron look, the focus that he's always had. I think a little bit was emotion. I think a little bit was weather. And, of course, playing up in New England in front of those fans. But, you know, again, it's the crazy thing about it. Don't give Tom the ball with any time left on the clock. If you're going to give him the ball with time left on the clock, let him be on his own 5-yard line in 1 second. Then you got a chance. Other than that, you just have to step back and just marvel at what we're seeing. We've never seen anybody like this. But it's funny. I make that statement, and you think of now. I'll mention a name that people will have to Google: Otto Graham. With the Cleveland Browns, won 9 championships. Tom's won 7. But we like to focus and talk about today. You know, it's like last year is forgotten. Now we're into, and it's in society and everything we do. It's right now, instant gratifications. But I still think you have to look at the history of our game and look at the accomplishments that are taking place. And the thing that I think makes Tom so special is he has won with so many different people around him. I would love to see somebody do an analysis of Tom Brady and the teams that he has quarterbacked. How many different running backs? How many different line combinations? How many wide receivers? Just on the offensive side of the ball. Not to mention the defensive side.
Which one of these rookie quarterbacks, Joe, and they've all faced, you know, adversity at some point or another here early this season, which one's shown you the most? Which one you most, you know, got the most confidence in, okay, this one's going to pan out?
Well, you know, I Justin, you know.
Fields.
Justin Fields, as I like what he's doing. Trey Lance, you know, now going to be the quarterback in San Francisco for a while. Zach Wilson got his first win against New Orleans. You know, Trevor Lawrence, that situation down in Jacksonville is beyond his abilities to be able to do anything to control.
It's a mess.
But it's a mess. And so, you know, all of them bring something different. I think Trey Lance and Justin Fields play a similar game because of their athleticism. Zach Wilson works more like, and even Trevor Lawrence is in that category. But Zach is one of those guys that, you know, works out of the pocket. I can't say any one of the four jumps out at me right now. They're all in a growth process, and it is a process, and people have to understand that. There's going to be mistakes. He'll go 6 for 20. Some of these kids are going to go 6 for 20. Others will go 15 for 20 and throw 4 touchdowns. You just don't know what the opponents are going to present through the course of the week.
Joe, great stuff as always. We know you're ripping and running. Thanks for the time,
you,
as always.
Thanks, guys. Good to catch up.
Always. He is Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champion, former MVP, Memphian. Always enjoy his perspective catching up here on the show. We'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Tuesday. What a day it's been here on the show. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
I can see you now rolling down Poplar, and you've been asking yourself the same question for weeks. What am I going to do? These ends aren't meeting. I got to change up my career, or I need a job. Listen, a lot of folks are out there hiring right now to the point that you can get overwhelmed on where to apply. We've got the solution for anyone out there looking for work, or like we said, even looking for a job change or a new career. It's called Millennium Search.
You could be like me, obviously pursue a career in rap. Taken off thanks to some of the work we've done here with this instrumental. Or like you can go get a real job, and that's where Millennium Search comes in. They hire for the very best companies that MIPS and the Mid-South have to offer. Can't say the names. We can point you in the right direction, though. Shoes and apparel, shipping, medical, tools, healthcare. the best of the best companies in Memphis.
So if you're looking for better hourly paying jobs with the best, or a better workplace environment with the best, even professional service positions with the best companies, all you have to do is start with one place, Millennium Search. Their team, it's an incredible team, will get to know you, and they'll get you in the spot that's best for you so you can make those ends meet. All you got to do is just go to the web address.
Right. And that web address, wait, Brad, I have no snare. Where's my snare? There's no snare in my headphone. I don't even need it.
JobsWithTheBest.com. Hey, JobsWithTheBest.com. One more time.
Hey,
JobsWithTheBest.com.
That's where you got to go, get a job, get back on your feet. Look, we were talking earlier about warthogs because there is an epidemic in this country, and it is not COVID. It is warthogs. And apparently in Mississippi,
Brains and Horn Lake.
There is a pack of wild hogs running around.
This is like 20 hours ago.
You know, people
this isn't the call the hogs like Arkansas.
No, people always wonder, like, man, why is it so cheap to live in Mississippi? What? You got freaking wild hog packs running around. That's why. You don't know what you're going to get.
Garrett knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that down there by him in Mississippi?
Now, yeah. And these particular hogs, how can I say this gently? They look radioactive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they look like they've been drinking some bioweapon, you know, chemicals. Like, they could be a special type, don't they?
Yeah.
They got, like, mullets, man.
Up until about 5 or 6 years ago, they were a major problem for farmers here in the mid-state of Tennessee. So, apparently, we've had some issues with wild hogs around here for a while. Y'all just didn't know about it because you're all city dwellers. You're all city slickers now. Here in Memphis, you didn't have any issue that they're taking over America, and especially some of the more rural areas.
Yeah.
Like Rains and Horn Lake Road. Apparently, they're just out in packs, y'all, operating.
Yeah, well, they will fit in, right?
Pet them.
Careful now,
that's
John.
What we
Those
learned.
Are our listeners.
Don't pet them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you, like, this looks like a Wolverine, like a werewolf. But it's not like this. Like this is like a, you know, American Werewolf in London type stuff, bro. You know what I mean? Like there's one at the big top of the pack, at the leader
the
of the pack.
Saying. Yes.
Like he looks like he definitely
got a mane like a lion.
Yeah, like that's an animorph, man.
And
that's
this all originated by listeners sending you clips of this after this viral video that went wild.
Well, we're trying to raise awareness, right? One of the things we like to do on the show is we like to raise awareness.
Sure.
And you know, these hogs don't look like they're very friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I would be very cautious and very careful around these hogs because they may not be of this earth. You know, just again, I'm stereotyping a little bit,
sure,
based on the location and just the appearance of these hogs. But just be very careful. They ain't one to mess with.
The only person can tame them is Sam Pittman.
That's right.
Heard that.
And I don't even think Sam can do it. This is a different breed.
You ever see the movie Beastmaster with the great Mark Singer?
No. Never even heard of either of those things.
Not even you, Brad?
No.
40-something?
No.
Beastmaster starring Mark Singer?
Educate me.
What is this, man? Is this a 1982 film?
I think it was Mark Singer. Something from the 80s.
Well, we know it's from the 80s.
He could talk to the animals.
This dude was like Roger Ebert in the 80s, and then he just fell off
completely. You do have quite a great repertoire.
I want to say that the woman in that was like Tanya Roberts or something.
Wow.
Was the love interest. She was.
You're like Rain Man with 80s movies.
Was this one of those late night Showtime deals?
Tanya Roberts was she'd be up on posters in teenagers' rooms.
Yeah, and again, like this is a very obscure movie, Brad. This was a movie that was not considered a commercial success.
I think Rip Torn was the bad guy. Is that in it? You got the cast up?
Tanya Roberts, Mark Singer, Rip Torn.
Yes, he was the bad guy. He was sacrificing folks. My guy John Amos was in that thing, but you know him more from Coming to America, John Amos. Yes.
Let's see. I don't recognize anybody else. Is this like Pagemaster with Macaulay Culkin?
No, much better. Much better movie.
Have you heard of Pagemaster, though?
No.
I have bad news. Tanya Roberts passed away earlier this year.
Mm. She was
at the age of 65.
She was a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Known most for her work in Beastmaster.
And back then, a bombshell. Mm. You know, so rest in peace, Tanya Roberts.
Pagemaster is a good one, though. And I certainly would recommend anybody watch that when you got kids. Yeah, I don't know where it is. I don't know where it's available. But
Beastmaster for me, Pagemaster recommendation for
John. Yeah, Pagemaster, a 1994 film. Patrick Stewart was in that one. Christopher Lloyd, Macaulay Culkin. All-star cast, you have to say. You have to give me that one, Jason.
McCauley really makes an all-star cast. Good job.
I mean, in the 90s, he did, bro. Come on. He was the Home Alone kid. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Watch out for them hogs, man. Watch out for them. They're out here in these streets, and they are not your friend. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, of course, to Jessica Benson for joining the show. Thanks to Joe Theismann for hopping on, as always. Judah and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.